Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Hello, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Medium Insights Hour, brought to you by the Triple F, the Forever Family Foundation, and Signs of Life Radio. We gather here every month to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on a variety of topics related to consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. I'm Roman Karpyshka, very proud to be your host, and I'm very, very excited and happy to welcome back Rebecca Ann LeCicero to the show. She's been working as a psychic medium. I'm sure you've heard of her. Since 94, she's born in Connecticut, known worldwide as an expert in her field of spiritual communication. She's also certified with Triple F, and currently she's the host of Messages from Heaven, Public Access TV, CVCCT, Bolton, Connecticut, Roku, and Firestick, and is featured in Surviving Death, that Netflix documentary that we keep talking about. Rebecca can actually accurately represent messages from souls with amazing validation, humor, boldness, blunt expressions, and she's really good about verifying facts about your loved ones and spirit. Come and experience Rebecca Ann talking to the dead through her trademark presentation, Messages from Heaven. She has an educational book called Living with Messages from Heaven. You can purchase it through Balboa Press and Amazon. More information can be obtained at www.RebeccaAnnLoCicero.com, all one string, no spaces. And on Facebook at www.facebook.com, Messages from Heaven, TM at the end. So messages from Heaven, TM. Just search that in Facebook and it'll take you right to her. So having said all that, and just one more thing, Rebecca's not going to be taking any, doing any readings or anything like that today. It's really, we want to see what makes her brain tick. And so your questions are very, very welcome, but no reading questions, okay? If you want to call in, if you have a question for our esteemed guest, call 1-888-627-6008. So that's 1-888-627-6008. With all that, welcome to the show, Rebecca.
Oh, thank you so much, Robin. It's so happy to be here. I mean, come on now. Listen to all that stuff about me. Usually when I'm out and about and people are like, so what do you do? I'm like, yeah, I talk to dead people for a living. You want to talk about it?
well, as long as you don't go up to them and say, hey, you're next.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Well, I love it when people ask me, you know, hey, how soon can you communicate with somebody after they've died? Because, you know, that's a question a lot of mediums answer in a lot of different ways.
And yeah.
I always say, don't drop dead. But if you did, I could tell you.
Yeah, but that is a really good question. What is the record for you from when somebody transitioned to when you had a reading? What's the shortest amount of time?
Less than 12 hours.
Less than 12 hours?
Okay, let me be I'll be specific. I had a client.
Yeah.
Who was already a client.
Yep.
Show up at a walk-in event within 12 hours of their loved one crossing, and I spoke with them.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought they were crazy. I was like, what are you doing here? They're like, where else would I want to be? And it melted my heart.
That makes sense. Wow, fantastic. It's 12 hours. Wow, asked and answered. I never even thought.
But I think that soul is I think soul's ready immediately.
Really? Wow. Wow. That's amazing. Because it's probably like when you cross over, you're like back home and you're like, oh yeah, now I remember.
I do. You know? Well, kind of like when you get like they say, you know, riding a bicycle or something. But I think that once we get rid of the body, which is kind of like the block or the shade.
Yep.
That as soon as we're outside of all this, it's kind of like, oh,
oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah. Is that what you think?
I do. Yeah.
Okay.
I really do. I mean, I know for a fact that I've had instances where, you know, people will come and they'll be like, you know, I've come to you so often. My loved one never comes through. And I'll say, set a private up, or even in a private, you know, this one comes through, that one. And they wonder, or, you know, they've been, a lot of people, I think the problem too is, Roman, that some mediums, and I'm not going to say this of any of our mediums, but some mediums out there, if they can't get the connection, they might blame it on that. And I think that's wrong.
Right. That is. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, you know what? We got a caller. Diane from Long Island is from Long Island online too. She's got a question, a really good question about seeing signs from somebody who's still being around them, that kind of thing. So with all of that, Diane from Long Island, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the call.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. You got a question for Rebecca?
I do. After my significant other passed, I kind of in my head said there are things that I wanted to see. You know, to make sure there were three things I asked for. There was a specific word that I asked for. There were feathers that I asked for, and nickels, because everybody finds pennies and dimes. I thought I would be different and do nickels.
I love that.
Inflation.
Exactly. And, you know, I was finding, you know, nickels were a little more scarce, but feathers, I probably have enough feathers right now to start my own bird sanctuary. Is he still around me doing that, or am I just doing that? You know, sometimes I'm not sure.
No, I totally understand what you mean. You had also said there was a certain word that you hear. That's my favorite. Yeah. I have a word for a loved one as well. So when I hear that word or I see it.
Well, the strange thing is with the word is someone called me who never met Joe. This gentleman's been my friend for many, many years. And he called me up one day and he said, I had a dream about Joe. I said, why would you? You never met him. And he said, he said something to me. He said that I love her infinitely. And the word that I was looking for was a word that we made up called, we say Infinius. We used to say Infinius. And I thought, oh my God, that's so close.
I've never
said
that.
To be it. You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. The gentleman said, go ahead.
The gentleman said to me, I never heard anyone say I love her infinitely. And I said, that's not what he said. I said, he said Infinius, but you, in order for you to understand it, because Infinius is not a word, I said, he's the first and only one who said that to me, and nobody knew about it.
Okay, so that is just the coolest thing in the world. So the fact that you got the word from a dream from a friend like that, that you absolutely take. I've had this question before because a lot of people will come up to me and they will say to me, signs are just baloney. You know, if you tell me to look for a yellow car, I'm going to see 7 yellow cars in a day. And then for a week, I'm going to see 14 and then 400 yellow cars by the end of the week. And I tell people that that's correct because that's where you're putting your focus and that's what you're looking for and that's what you're going to receive. But when it is your loved one crossed over, and you have this need, and I'm going to call it a need, because when we need to hear from our loved ones, it's not just a want. It's really a borderline of, I need to know you're okay. I need to know that you know I'm okay. There needs to be that sort of connection. So one of the things that I tell people is, if nickels is your sign, you have every right to pick up that nickel and go, hey, Joe, is this one from you? Because if it is, I need a second one right now. Or is this from you? I need to get my feather from you today, too. If you were crossed over and you gave your loved one a sign, one, you're going to know whether or not your loved one felt it from you. And that is a point. And if you feel it, then you feel it. And it's there. It's a feeling. You're not going to deny it. If you're starting to feel the energy like, okay, here's another feather, yay, you could say, okay, I need a blue feather tomorrow. Not that you're testing them so much as that you're testing yourself. So when it really does come through, so when the signs really do show up, you can recognize that feeling inside your body. When your soul connects with the soul of your loved one, that's a profound feeling. Don't ever, ever doubt that for yourself again. Okay, Diane?
I won't. He promised me before, we used to talk about this once in a while, and he used to say to me, when I die, just cremate me and move on with your life. And I said, and what if I die first? And he said, I don't want to live in a world where you're not. He said, and I'm going to tell you that if there's any way I could communicate with you, I will do it. And we were ghost investigators. So we were very into the paranormal and all of that. And it was amazing. You know, I mean, the signs that I was getting from him the day after he died on his brother's birthday. His brother had passed and he died on his brother's birthday. And that morning I was driving to the train station with my granddaughter to drop her off. And as I was coming home, coming out of a side street, there was an oil truck with the word Anchor on it. And I went, oh God, Joe grew up on Anchor Avenue. And his brother was killed in an accident with an oil truck.
Hey, tell me that's and not the weirdest thing in the world.
It was like Joe was saying to me, we're together. Don't worry about it.
Absolutely. Because together in a heartbeat. Diane, the best thing that I can tell you is you're not crazy. And for anybody else listening, if you want to test your signs, I say that that's okay to do. I really do. I have a papa, and I figured pennies for sure for him, but I required 2 pennies. So if I don't see 2 pennies next to each other on the ground, on the table, wherever they, you know, touching is great, but next to each other, if there's not 2 pennies, it's not him. That's coming from a medium.
Right.
Well,
so
I
want to thank you
that.
So much for calling and tell you that, you know, I mean, I love that it's nickels too. That's the best. And I hope you find a fleet of them tomorrow.
Oh, well, thank you. I hope so, too. I really appreciate it. And thank you so very much for taking my call, both of you. I really appreciate the time.
Have a great
evening. You
got it. And thank you for your call.
Thank you. Take care.
Take care. Well, that was very interesting.
It is a soul connection to those signs, though. You know, I mean, it's kind of like a reading, too, Roman. If I'm reading somebody and I don't feel it, I'm thinking they don't feel it either. And I think it would be the same thing with a sign, you know, like if you walk outside in the middle of late August and a butterfly flies by, that could just be whatever, you know. But if you wake up on a chilly October morning and it's your birthday and a butterfly flies by, you know, you kind of have to look at that and feel that in a different way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, what do you do? Like, okay, let's get to your particular set of skills. What do you do to prepare for a reading? And I ask this of like pretty much all the mediums now that I interview, because I want our listeners to see, you know, compare and contrast, you know, what the different mediums do. So how do you get yourself ready for that?
I don't.
Okay.
Let's have dead air on that answer. I don't have any rituals or processes other than once, not to get ready to read. I don't have any rituals. I don't do any specific prayers. I feel like I'm in a constant state of prayer being alive. Every word I say is a word to me that, that comes from my soul. So I'm speaking truth. So I always want to be in the right direction.
Okay.
But I don't have anything that I do before I get ready. I don't like to eat before I work. Kind of makes me feel like I'm going on a roller coaster. Doesn't really settle. I don't really like to talk to anybody before I work. Like, I'm not going to walk into a group of 50 people and have a big conversation with somebody because it drains my energy before I'm about to work. So I probably, you know, I make sure that I'm healthy and awake and ready to go. But I don't have any particular processes. And I know a lot of people do. They sit down, they take 10 minutes, they go into a quiet space, they meditate, they connect with their, they call them. I don't have any of that.
Okay. Hey, to each their own, and whatever works. I mean, some people, you know, you can chalk it off to you being, you know, very confident in your abilities, and they just, you know, they're going to show up. There you go. Good.
And now we could take that phrase and twist that. They don't show up for me. They're already there.
Right. No, your ability to see them, to you know, perceive.
Yeah. No, it's there before. Like, yeah, it's not, there's nothing for me to do to bring them in. It's almost like as soon as the person is in front of me and I'm ready to do the reading with them, it's there. I do have three rules that I give people before I start reading, but the rules that I give them aren't, they're not necessarily about what I do to prepare for the spirit to come through. It's kind of like what I need to give you to prepare me for me. Roman, we got to get you ready for Rebecca. She's coming. Okay.
Yeah. So
the first thing I tell people, the first thing I tell you is that when I'm in this room or in this group, or even if it's a one-on-one, everybody gets the exact same rules. Rule number one, yes or no. You got to give me an answer one way or the other. If you're going to sit there at me staring faced or not give me an answer or not reply, I'm not going to have anything to give back in a vibrational way to spirit to let spirit know that it's been understood through me. Spirit needs to know that the person I'm reading understands. So a yes or a no is great. If you understand what I'm saying, say yes. If you don't, say no. Don't feed the medium. I'll get the next thing, no problem. The next thing that I tell them is that I may bring through information between here and there. So I may bring through, I tell people, then I'll say, so don't forget your own name. And then dates, I'll say, don't forget your own birthday, because sometimes your loved ones will come through and your loved ones may give me your name or your birthday or your anniversary, or they may give me their name, their birthday, their anniversary, or their death date. Mm-hmm. We don't have death dates, so I won't get death dates for us. We can't use that as validation, of course, but they may come through with that, or they may mention the names of other people who are with them. So what I try to do is expand the sitter to understand that I may say, you know, who's Roman? And they'll go, well, Roman's not dead. And I'll go, well, that's okay, because somebody in spirit knows his name. So we would know why it connects, right? And then the last thing that I do is I say that I tell them, I go, it's very possible your loved ones may talk to me about trauma or illness, about how they died. We all kind of want to talk about that kind of a scenario. So to answer your question, I feel like I prepare the people that I'm going to read with those three quick rules, but I don't necessarily do anything for myself. And we've talked about this before too. I've never not seen spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's just no different from going from the hotel lobby where there's dead people to the room with, you know, your loved ones.
Like, so you see spirit everywhere you go, you're walking down the street and you'll see like dead people or whatever. I mean, is that what you mean by that? Or
it's not like ghosts, but there are definitely souls connected to each of us that are with us all the time. Yes. Yeah, okay. you don't often stand alone.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. So, like,
sometimes that might be because
with me right now, like,
oh my goodness, if something pops up, Roman, we're in trouble.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
It's like we just don't. Not everybody is talking to you. You know, if you walk into a restaurant, you only have a couple of people who are talking to you. The maitre d' at the front desk, right, is going to talk to you and bring you to, you know, oh, you want a seat? Okay, your hostess, right? And then your waitress is going to talk to you. Maybe the cook will come out and talk to you. But if the waitress is coming up to me and she's, you know, got her mother's ring on or something, and I may look at her and say, what a beautiful ring. And she'll go, oh, that's my mother's. And then I'll see and feel the essence of her mother going, that's mine.
Oh, wow. Really? Wow.
So, but it's not that I need to talk to everybody. I learned the hard way. You don't have to talk to everybody about it.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. And you know, you talked about death dates and how we all have death dates. We're all gonna, you know, we're all gonna die. Is there a predetermined timing for our exit?
I don't get death dates for the living. I will receive a death date from somebody who's already crossed as validation of who they are. I don't think we're predetermined. I hope not, because I don't want to die.
Well, I mean, yet, of course. I mean,
think so.
You'll think differently when you're 105 and not in very good shape. Maybe.
Okay, well, that might have been a very psychic comment from you. You know that my grandmother lived to 105.
You see?
She didn't. It was very difficult. Yeah. So you're 100% right, in addition.
But I just
think we have a predetermined date. No, I think we have such an incredible amount of free will that I think mind over matter is a really big possibility. So sometimes I think that our soul knows what needs to be done inside of us. Like, our soul knows what our body needs to live and to be as healthy as possible. But I don't think there's an exit date. No, I hope people don't know that stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, not to reveal that, but I'm just saying, you know, I'm just wondering if it was predetermined or not, even though you might.
Usually,
you know,
when people ask me that, I usually say no, but you have miracles. So, you know, you toss up a miracle once in a while. Like, I have a handful of miracles, I'm going to hop up on my deathbed and start singing with my doctors and stuff just to freak them out a little. Got to use it for some good, right?
Of course, of course. So I got some questions here from some of our listeners that, you know, they wrote in over the past however amount of time. And I'll read one to you. After one has experienced a positive reading and a connection to a loved one on the other side, how best does one meditate, pray, or understand how to be more intentional about asking for and receiving signs from the person in daily life?
Okay. So after they've had a really good reading?
Yeah, they've had a good positive reading and they want to keep getting signs, I guess. That's what this person is referring to.
Yeah. Well, kind of like the phone call we just had too. So signs in a way with that too. You know, I find that when somebody has a really good reading with me, which I hope is every reading with me, I will often get an email from them that might say something, or a text, like a follow-up. That might say something like, oh my gosh, this just happened, or that just happened. And if I was to answer that question really directly, it would be to share those experiences of receiving those signs. I mean, this person had a great reading with me. I think I might have said something like, what's with the gold frogs? And she had no idea what gold frogs were. But she left my house and went directly to somebody else's house, and there were brass frogs. So she took a picture of these gold brass frogs and sent it to me. It exuberated her joy. It made the sign bigger. It made the reading bigger. Frogs were already a symbol for her sign. So I think that to answer that question would be, you know, take these signs that you already know that you get and share them with people. Oh my gosh, I had this reading today. And then afterwards I saw this frog. And then I called and I told this person and that person. It's like, if you can share that joy and that reality that heaven is real, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's.
And coming from somebody who can make a difference, you know, if it's. Yeah, that's a good way to enhance it.
Right. Now, do you ever get spirits that, and this is, couple of questions down, but I'm going to read it now because it's pretty intense. Might spirits impersonate somebody and tell lies without the person or medium suspecting such? If any mediums claim that they can know this, and can they explain how they determine this, and what percentage do they know for sure that it's kind of badly, poorly written? But
no, I
think you get the gist.
I really hope that the person that wrote that question here's the answer from me. I'm only going to be a part of the answer for them. What they're doing is they're asking about what would be considered a biblical statement or a religious undertoned question as far as the first part of it. Having studied theology, I have no problem tackling these questions.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know if a spirit is impersonating or lying? That is a huge, huge question. And it is part of the reason and part of what stops lots and lots of people from coming to a medium, because it's been ingrained in them.
Yeah, the church is really responsible for that.
Right. It becomes ingrained in them that it's a lie, or it could be wrong, or it could be bad, or it could be evil. And I understand this because I actually grew up very deep in Catholicism and in the dogma of it. And, you know, my family worked for the Archdiocese of Connecticut for 28 years. I've seen and had a lot of conversations with priests about things like this and congregations. And it's basically this. What I have is a gift of discernment. And the word discernment in the context to answer the question would be the ability to see the difference between the truth of a soul and the lie of an entity. So the soul in our body has a different vibration, and it vibrates with love and truth constantly. And the medium, and myself as the medium, the way to connect with those loved ones needs to be in a direct way that's full of truth, validation, and accuracy, which is why mediums feel that's so important within sessions. It's because that the opposite doesn't feel good. It can be true and it can be accurate, but it doesn't feel good. It's one thing to say to somebody on the phone, oh, he said he was never going to give you a sign, right? He was just going to die and leave you alone. So, of course, you're not getting signs. Like the poor lady who called on the phone, it would be very easy to say to her that those aren't signs from her loved one. Her loved one said, I'm resting in peace. I'm not doing it. But the signs make her feel good and make her feel closer to him and closer to his soul, which to me is discernment.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's a tough question.
It is.
The answer is that the medium has to have the ability to see what is a positive truth and could possibly be a truthful negative lie. Like I could say, oh, what a great car. That car is going to last you 10 years. Or I could say, oh, what a great car. That car is going to die in like 10 days. Now I've bred fear into you, but it's still a great car. So I think that to answer the question is, how do I know? I know when it comes through, if the message makes me feel like I'm afraid or if I'm joyful. And all spirit, all connections to soul are joyful. Gotcha. Even if it's hard, even if it's a hard death or a hard suicide or a hard I'm sorry or a hard connection, it's still going to have a positive outcome on the human being that I'm connecting with. If it's something that is discernible and doesn't feel right, I won't even say it out loud. It's not even a connection. I'll acknowledge it and ignore it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. That's actually a really tough one.
Yeah. Do you have an ideal sitter? Other than, you know, somebody that knows the three rules, is there something else that they can do to, you know, to enhance the experience or to make the communication stronger? I mean, I know, you know, there's physical mediums that have, they sing before, you know, some guy in Australia, he sings before every session. You know, and it's just to get the mood going, you know, do you find that affects everything?
Oh, if the person is, somebody sings before a session. I mean, I definitely play music before a session, but I'm not singing it and raising it like that. I think my ideal sitter is going to be somebody who I've never met and I know nothing about. Like even if they You know, that to me is the best, the best. On the phone, even, you know, if I can't see them, which nobody does anymore, are the greatest readings because there's no filter, there's no facial expressions, there's no nothing. So that would be my ideal sitter. But as far as somebody getting the best out of the message that's going to come through, it would be validation. I think that we want so much more than what we're going to get in every reading. Like, it's never enough. And I know that because even I've had readings where I'm like, oh my gosh, I want more. I want more. What do you mean? What do you mean? But I don't think that the sitter knows how to ask or define what they need more of during the session. And one of the reasons why is because we don't give them the opportunity to do that. Unfortunately, we can't really give the sitter an opportunity to talk or ask questions because that could throw us off. It could break our concentration or our connection. But if you have a sitter where I say, okay, this looks like this looks like a Rebecca. It looks like she's about 50. She's definitely talking to me about loving kids and having dogs. And if I get those pieces of information out, if the sitter said, yes, I know a Rebecca, she has dogs, she loves kids, this is correct, I would be like, okay. And then the Rebecca up there, which is him, will come back down with a whole handful of new information. Right, and that makes the reading full and thick. If it's somebody who's very stuck, maybe I might have to repeat the same thing to them a lot, but right, spirit will be repeating it. And that's okay too, because I think they're going to get what they need no matter what, for sure.
Yeah. Do you actually see what the other side looks like, or do you just see the people that have crossed over? But did you ever go on that journey when somebody's maybe is crossing over or anything like that to
see something more than very. Very few moments have I had where I didn't see the other side, but I could feel it. Almost like if somebody's baking an apple pie in the house and then they open the door and for just to let you in and for just a minute, you can feel the apple pie, not just smell it.
That would be garlic. There's in my house.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, let me tell
you.
No,
I love garlic.
I've had a situation once where I had a baby come through and tell me how excited she was to come.
A baby?
Yeah. I had a female soul that came through as an infant who was connected to the sitter's family, the family member, I think it was her niece, was pregnant. And I had the soul of the baby come through to say how excited she was to come. I know this is kind of weird, Roman. I'm literally telling you that I did a reading from a soul that was coming instead of a soul that went. But it was the only way I can answer the question.
So it wasn't a baby that died. It was a baby that was about to be born.
Correct.
Wow. That's the first time I
heard that. As she came through with everything, name, date, everything. When she was coming, who her mama was, all of it. As she came through to me, I could feel the apple pie around her. I could feel the heaven around. I could feel it. I could feel where she was as she was talking about where she was coming. So if you say to me, have I ever seen anything over there on that side? It was this, I'll call it a puff of joy. Just a puff, right. Just a okay. Puff. And it was, but I had felt it before with other loved ones when they would come through to say hi, but it never lasted that long. It didn't last like through a whole mini reading. It only came right at the beginning. But other than that, I can't really see I've seen anything over there. I feel more
medium,
like they
you're the first medium that ever You're the it's the first time I ever hear of that. Like where somebody you've contacted somebody before they're born, not after they die. That's really cool. That's another thing. First time. Never thought that. I've never seen it. I've read hundreds of books on mediumship and spirituality. Never seen that. That's mind blowing. That's pretty cool. Wow. How long when did this happen? When did that happen?
Oh my gosh. Well, I was in my old center, so it had to be previous to 2019. I'd say maybe 2016, 2017. So, I mean, I've been in the business a long time, and that was a pretty profound moment for me too that
day.
Oh,
I'm sure it blew your mind. Holy cow.
I had to ask her a million times. I was like, I must have said, so when did she lose this baby? No, she's pregnant. I'm like, because my immediate fear was call this woman right now and make sure she's still pregnant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she was still pregnant.
Oh, okay.
And it was not a, it was, she had a beautiful baby. And in no way, I mean, I said that to her afterwards. I was like, you know, I feel so positive about this. I go, but the rational Rebecca in me is like, what just happened? And I mean, I've seen pictures. This beautiful baby girl was born. And you know, it was really, that was a really special thing. Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was something other people would all see. Me feeling normal again.
It would be interesting, the question, you know, circle back to that in a couple of years and maybe see if that kid remembers anything about that conversation, or maybe just ask the parents, you know, that might be interesting.
Yeah.
But that's a whole different thing. Wow. Yes. Holy cow. So, I mean, you can make a ton of money doing that. Reading baby before they're born. Parents can tell, you know, what color to paint the room.
Oh my goodness pattern. Gracious. What are you talking about?
You know
about
where I'm
now?
Going with that, right? You could make a ton of money. Oh, I'm all kidding aside. That was still amazing.
I just was so overjoyed. Like usually we hear about how I hear from loved ones. Oh, I was so happy when I left my body. It's so peaceful here. There was, you know, I've been around enough people when they've been dying on their deathbed where you know that they're leaving their body and there's an awe to what they're seeing or feeling, but we're still stuck in the concrete. I feel like where they go has something to do with being very light and very fluid and just like, I don't know. Then
the human body is like this big reducing valve. It just slows us down. It gets sick. It experiences pain, but you know, at the same time, it experiences love and some of the really good things in life. You know what I mean? That probably
that soul
you can't...
wants you to have all love all the time.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
It really does.
Yeah. So, do you ever work with other mediums?
Yes. Yes, cool. I do work with other mediums. There is a stigma out there. There are a lot of mediums who don't like to work with other mediums and will say no right away and think nothing of it. I don't mind.
Okay.
I find it fascinating. If I can be around another medium who's a good medium, mm-hmm. who knows what they're doing, you know, and I can enjoy that. Not only am I enjoying what they're doing, I'm enjoying the feeling of joy that they're giving to others. And I can also often link in. So I may hear a part of the conversation that they don't hear, or they will say a part of it. And then I've got a couple of mediums that we could go back and forth as we're reading together. Neiman, I don't know if you know, but my daughter, Julia, is a reader. She's been reading for almost 12 years now. So I read with her often also.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I mean, just a question
we'll tag
just
team.
In my head. I it's not a listener question. I just thought I'd ask that, and what a happenstance there, because you do it with your daughter all the time.
We'll get together and we'll do an event once in a while together, or you know, it's nice to have somebody who I can call to cover me if I can't but she working with other mediums can be a lot of fun as long as we the mediums take our ego out.
Yeah,
that's a really important thing. I think that when we're in that space, we are so sure of what we are receiving to give, because we have to be in order to have the confidence to relay the message, to both receive it and relay it, that I think when other mediums when we work alongside other mediums, at times we worry about whether or not we're getting what we're supposed to be getting. Are they getting everything? There's like, you know, if there's a lot of that. So, you know, sometimes you find mediums who just, you can work with them back to back. That's fine. No, I've never had a problem working with a medium back and back. Yeah. But to actually work with somebody at the same time, going, Joe Peretta and I have done that a couple of times.
Oh yeah, too. Joe's great. I like Joe.
Yeah, he's fun to go back and forth with.
Yeah, he's quite the guy. Quite the character, that guy. I love his I just like his energy. He's so positive about everything, you know? So he positive is. And happy. He's kind of like you. You're so positive about everything. This is great. I love it. Anyhow,
I love my job.
Of course. I mean, what's not to love? It's great. You're helping people. You're doing something you're good at, and you love doing it. And why not? You know, for sure.
Yeah, every bit of it. I got to tell you a story.
Okay.
Okay. Please. I have a book, and of course my listeners can't see this book that I have, but I love to read. I get very addicted to picking up books on nonfiction. I'm not a fiction reader. I am a nonfiction reader. But I love to read textbooks, anything that has to do with science, spirituality. Of course, the foundation has numerous amounts of books. I've even read Claude Swanson's books, head to toe. Oh, I found this one book called Introduction to Metaphysics, and it was written back in, I believe, I'm looking right now, 1930. Wow. And it was on my bookshelf. And I'm looking at this book and I'm thinking to myself, Introduction to Metaphysics. Wow, that's all about my job. I must have bought this book, or I must have got this book off of eBay. So I pick up the book and I'm flipping through it because I have no idea where it came from. Literally old printed, fuzzy bound book. I open up the front cover and it says Ed Gadolski in the front cover, who happens to be my grandfather.
Oh, wow.
So I was flabbergasted. I took the book directly to my mother. I said, Ma, you told me you don't know anything about this psychic stuff, and here's Grandpa's book. He's got a whole book on metaphysics. I'm holding this book. It says Ed Gadolski right inside it. What is this book? Where did this come from? She goes on to tell me that he was a graduate of Manhattan College and that he studied metaphysics and politics.
Metaphysics and politics.
Metaphysics and politics at Manhattan College in 1930.
We can sure use a guy like him right now with our state of politics.
So I wanted to share that because sometimes we don't always know like why we're connected to something or what. I mean, I'm adopted, so I'm not even going to say this is like a genetic or a bloodline thing. This was a book that wound up on my shelf because it was supposed to. And my mother's like, I don't even know about that book. Where'd you get it? Was it in a box? I was like, what do you mean? Was it in a box? So I think that everybody out there listening, maybe take a moment and go look around your house. Go look on your bookshelf and see if you're going to get any natural signs from your loved ones without even knowing it. I mean, that was the hugest hello from my grandfather I could have ever gotten. He was also the first soul that I ever spoke to in spirit. So it was very full circle for me to find this book and to hold it in my hands and be like, oh, you understand, you know? So I always encourage people, you know, look around your house. And if you feel drawn to a certain place for a certain reason, open a book, look through it and, you know, see, open that file that you've thought about, haven't thought about for a while, or, you know, go through that box that you usually don't go through and see what's in there. You might get an unexpected hello like me.
Yeah. I've, you know, opened a box of old pictures once and went scanning through it. And, you know, a couple of cool pictures showed up of like people that recently crossed over, and it was interesting. Yeah. It's right? always a
no
good thing to do that.
Coincidences.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the next world, is there like different levels of vibration? Like, do you see perceive different levels of vibration in the afterworld? Like, some souls are, you know, more advanced than others, that kind of thing, so they're at a higher vibration or anything? Or and does that impede or enhance your ability to connect with them based on, you know, what vibration they're at because of what height they're at or whatever? I mean, a lot of books talk about like the seven levels of the afterlife and Summerland and stuff like that. And I'm just wondering if is it the same to contact somebody that's really high up in spirit as it is if they're lower in spirit at a lower vibration?
Okay. I have not experienced different levels when speaking to spirit at all, ever. I have never heard one soul be higher or lower in importance or in a level or in a location. I've never experienced any soul stepping down from a level or coming out from a level. I've never even heard of a soul telling me that they were more important than another. It becomes...
Oh, yeah. No, it's not from that point. I wasn't talking from that point of view of somebody like expressing what they are. I'm talking about more like a vibrational, like they're at a higher vibration than another.
So, if I was to cross over versus the calm person sitting, like some other calm person, like my vibration coming through would be high, right?
Well, your vibration would be higher than Hitler's, put it that way, right? And that's not a compliment. I'm not trying to compliment you here. I'm just trying to, as an extreme example. I know it's
I do not see any difference in receiving the communication from any particular soul. Some souls, I believe they come through in true personality. So that true personality, if you are a quiet speaker, if you're a slow speaker, I may have to sit there and say to you, oh, Roman, this one's a quiet speaker and a slow speaker. I'm just letting you know as I'm getting this through. So something like that will still, they still have to do it their way. So I don't think that it's a vibrational connection as much as it is a personality connection. What are you going to believe and receive is what their focus would be in a sense. So like, boy, you're asking me all these really tough questions. I'm going to sleep good tonight, Roman. Oh, for goodness sakes. I love every minute of it. I don't believe there's levels over there. And the reason why I say that is because we in our trapped brain of use of 20%, we cannot judge correctly the heightened vibration that each soul would have. I mean, that vibration, that importance, that way that it's going to come through, that higher level, that could be you, not me. That could be you, and we don't even know why. What have you done? What have you experienced in your life, you know, that maybe you're not even conscious of that has made you an amazing person? Mm-hmm. So I think about how it's not about levels as much as it is maybe about, how could I put it? The circumference of the universe inside you. How many stars do you have?
Oof.
And when you're outside that body and all of those universes collide and we share stars together, like, I mean, it just seems so endless. I don't know how there could be a level. So.
Okay. No. Yeah. I mean, it's mind boggling how big the universe is and how.
Yes.
I don't even think we know how big it is. I think we have theories and Hubble space telescopes and computer generated.
No clue.
We have no clue.
I have no clue. I'm not an expert on everything, but I am very sure that there is an afterlife. Very sure.
Right. Well, that makes things, you know, it's nice when you believe that, because then even though you're not wanting death to happen anytime soon. You're not scared of it. You're not really scared of it, but you don't want it to happen soon. You want to live your life, of course.
I'd kind of be scared if I could ever think about it not being there. I sometimes tell people I get jealous if they have the ability to consider Darwinism, or, you know, we come from that whole, you know, you just become part of the earth and it just feeds off itself and dinosaurs and all that. And I believe we come from where we go to. So the body just stays here fine, but I don't have the ability yet, nor do I think I want it, to ever imagine a place that isn't. I'm a little jealous of people who can contemplate that. It's just a little, though.
Yeah. There's. I think there's a lot of. I mean, it's so finite. You die and you become, you know, worm food. No, I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
No, but the peace that some people must have having that, you know, I bet you there's that peace to some people.
Well,
and then I meet them and rock their world.
There you go. did you notice? Do you have like repeat sitters? And if and when you do, is it just as easy to make contact with the spirits that they're looking for the you know, the subsequent times as it was the first time, or does it become harder as time passes? How does that work?
Yes, it depends on how much I remember. So if a sitter comes and I read them, I have a 6-month policy. So I absolutely do not want to see you in 6 months. So I ask people, like, unless they absolutely need to, don't come to a gallery. Don't book another appointment, you know, let 6 months go by afterwards for sure.
Okay.
If they do come back, so I have some clients who try to come back every year or every 2 years. And they're usually doing that for like an anniversary. Once somebody has come enough and I recognize them and I recognize their loved ones, I say two things to them. The first one I say is, maybe you should find another medium. And I'm really quick about that. And I even offer to help, because I don't want to steal their money, because I know so much about them, and that's how it feels. So ethically, I put up a really big kind of red flag for them. And I say to them, I say, you know, I'm not doing for you in this third and fourth reading what I was doing for you in your first and second reading, because I know you so well and I know your story so well. Cause some stories are like that, you know.
Yeah.
Some people will say, who cares? I want to do it anyway. And, you know, of course, if they have new loved ones that cross, that's always something to come so through. And then what I will also do is I will say to them, if you are going to come back again, make sure you talk to your loved one. You have new things for me to validate. You've done new things in your world for them to talk to me about or discuss with me, and make sure that you maybe even bring something with you or have something. So when I do the reading, there's more for me to reference.
Gotcha. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So absolutely. You know what? We only got about a minute left. Told you it's the fastest hour ever. It's so fast. So why don't we talk about like plug your business for.
All right.
Anybody
in the New England area, travel to Connecticut on November 24th. I'm going to be doing a Messages from Heaven. So a gallery at a comedy club. It's the Funny Bone Comedy Club. It's a pretty popular comedy club in it's the Hartford Funny Bone. It's actually located in Manchester. But and anybody else just me on Facebook, go watch what I'm putting out, go be inspired every day. I'm here for you.
Fantastic.
Follow the foundation, you know, hop into a retreat. I'd love to get some hugs, shoot me some hellos, and I've got that one really fun comedy club gig coming up. So anybody in the New England area, that would be something they can hop in on.
My daughter goes to UN University of New Haven, so I might be around. Yeah. So what's called great. The Funny Bone? Funny Bone.
It's called the Funny Bone Comedy Club.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So she's in New Haven. It's a 45-minute drive for her, but it's in Manchester, Connecticut. Yeah.
In Manchester. Okay.
Yep. Yep, tickets are
Perfect. Thank
cheap. I
you.
think they're $35. The show is at 12 o'clock. You can get a drink or get some food, and I
Like
don't stay on
12
stage,
midnight.
so get ready.
Good stuff. All
Yep,
right.
yep.
Well, Rebecca, it was so nice having you on the show. Thank you very much. And I
Thank
think it was a
you.
great show. I think our listeners and I think I learned a lot. It was great.
A lot of fun.
And yeah, it was great. So with that, I'm gonna say good night to all of our listeners. And until next time, just know that you're, as Fran used to say, your loved ones are a heartbeat away, right?
Oh,
And that,
yes.
yeah. And science is gonna prove it one day. So until then,
I
until we
agree.
meet next month, and I don't want to wait 2 years to talk to you again. You gotta get
Me
there.
neither.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you, everybody, and have a great night.